Blog Talk Radio.
I was trying to play a guest bow this evening. Morgan England is coming on the show. He played Dylan St. Louis on Guardian Light, and he's working as a firefighter by now. He moved to the best city ever, I think. Well, Nashville. And, he wrote a song called the Firefighter Song, and I will let him explain that at the so goes. And so the phone number to call in is 1-347-850-8721. Here Morgan is. Hi.
Hey everybody, can you hear me?
Oh yeah, you're great. No, I tried playing it, and it was being stubborn, and then I thought I had the file perfectly, and then it went to Lady Annabelle, and I don't know how I did that.
Oh, no worries.
But, you know, it's stupid Block Talk. Yes, I blame everything on Block Talk.
Didn't I know you back when I was on the show? Did I meet you back then?
Maybe.
How old are you?
Okay, well, when were you
moving
last on Guiding Light?
I was left Guiding Light in December of 94.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was in high school then, so no. I mean, I was. But no, I love that you're on the show tonight, and I just... Your biography really was a very interesting little read. And can you tell the fans, you know, besides you were on Guiding Light, just give the fans a little background?
Sure. You know, I want to say first, Carly, you asked me to give you a little background. And so I just started writing, and I actually wrote stuff down that I maybe have never said before, even to myself. And so I haven't reread it, but I know that it was very personal, and you have some really inside information there. So use it delicately. Anyway, I'm really happy to be here, and thank you all for tuning in. And so let me give you my little history. After Guiding Light, I had I had two young kids. And my son was just born, and I ended up leaving the show because I wanted to live in California. I wanted to pursue nighttime television and stuff like that. And what I found out was that that Hollywood was not really the place for me. It's just very different than New York. And my kids were young, and I was in a pretty tough marriage. So I really thought about what was important to me, and I heard a calling to serve and in some way. And that led me to becoming a paramedic and then a firefighter. Well, actually, before that, ski patrol, then EMT, paramedic, firefighter, paramedic. And that was an incredible experience. But the last couple of years, I've felt this other calling, this sort of thumping, this growing noise within me to let it out. And I think it really comes from, it's interesting because my kids have inspired me, but I also am inspired by and filled by, I think, my ancestors, my grandmother, my great uncle and stuff like that. So I've left the department and I'm going into music and going to follow the songwriting and music path wherever it takes me. But I, as a tribute to my brothers and sisters that are still on the job and still working hard, I want to use this song that I've written. It's called Homeward Bound, a firefighter song. It's about coming home.
Oh yeah, it's amazing, you guys. Yeah.
And it's just about how important family is and to go and do for any of us, really, you know, to have that strength and that, and home, that just that word, what home is, and how powerful it is for somebody that's away for extended periods of time and how difficult that is. But anyway, it's my tribute to them, and it's also a way that I'm going to give back to the department that gave me so much. I've just partnered with the Los Angeles Fire Department Foundation on the strength of the song, literally, because the lady said, she's like, yes, okay, great, I'll give it to my assistant, and you know, we'll see what we can do. But then I got an email from her. Clearly, she'd listened to the song, and she said, I love the song, and I want to see how we can work together. So I was really excited by that because I gave it like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is amazing. And wait, who are you talking about? I might know the person.
Well, I'm actually talking about the Fire Department Foundation
that
I'm partnering with.
It's good. Yeah, I heard it, because I'm a big Chicago Fire Watcher, Chicago Med, and all those. I love fires. No, I do not like saying on people, but my grandmother was a little sometimes in the pyromaniac. No, it's bad. No, Morgan, you laugh, but it just, you know, when you told me you're a firefighter, you know, used to be, I'm thinking, you know, of all the things when you were a kid and you, like, did the fireworks and stuff, and you never really think about, oh, what if I set this field on fire, oh, you know, whatever. And it just got me thinking last night about what you said about, you know, the fire paramedics. You know, it just got me thinking that you know, I think it's amazing to go from acting to, you know, my favorite place. I've never been to Nashville, but it's just a place I have to go because I think I'm going to fall in love with it, the city and everything. I love country music. But I was thinking, I was going to ask you, so with all of your training and with all of your knowledge of, you know, the fire and paramedic, don't you think, you know, like a primetime show needs you? They need you because you know the, you know everything, and you could be like a director of it. I don't know whatever it is the fire people do, but I think you would be willing – good. And, you know, after, you know, reading the email you sent me about your background, it, you know, got me thinking about a lot of things. But, you know, you grew up really in a Hollywood, quote-unquote, family, you know, and that in itself probably was, for you, was very hard to do. I think for anyone, but when your mom and dad are celebrities, I think for the, you know, for their kids, it's really hard. So was it really hard on you back then, or was it easy?
Well, that there were several kids that I knew actually that were the sons or daughters of so and so, and you know, the main thing is that they were just gone. You know, they were gone, and we were left to our own devices, left to bring ourselves up. And that's true of a lot of, I found a lot of people in my generation that I grew up with, and especially people I'm connecting with now or reconnecting with. That seems to be a theme, you know. So was it hard? I mean, life is what it is, you know, and it's just a collection of experiences, and really it's what we make of it. In some ways, I cry when I think about it. In other ways, I draw incredible strength from the very same event or the very same experience. So it's made me who I am today, and it definitely – one thing that's been difficult in my life is people's assumption when they know who my mother is, before I knew who I was, you know, they make an assumption about who I am. And that usually has to do with me riding around with a butler and a silver spoon in my mouth. And, my personal experience was extremely different from that. And, in a lot of ways, I thank the Lord for that, because I was the one in my family that, really had to, you know, I started working very young, and I supported myself, and I saw that that was important, and I haven't stopped since. So I've learned some great lessons and things that have held me in good stead throughout my life.
Well, yeah, and then when I was, you know, reading about your brother, you know, about that, and, you know, I think no matter what, no matter how many years something like that is, because we went through something like that in our family, you never really make it back 100% normal after that. It's just, well, you know, a new way of living about it.
You know, that's a perfect example of where I cry about it, but at the same time, I draw strength from him, from the memory. And, you know, it's the grief that he's gone is unbearable sometimes, but the other side of it is that the things that he gave me definitely make me a big part of who I am today. So I took the good of him, and I think I live every day knowing that his life is over. But I am alive, so I can carry him on in as long as I remember him then. And I live the best life I can, then I honor him and his memory and his life.
Well, and that's a great way, you know, that is the best way, you know, deal with it. I mean, I totally 101% you know, think what you did, you know, great, because, I mean, either when something like that happens, either, you know, you get through it, or you become an alcoholic. I mean, like, there are,
which I did. So, we're talking mid-80s. I was bartending for 2 years, and, you know, I just had to be numb. I knew that I had to go through this dark tunnel, and I was just hammered every night coming home from there, riding my motorcycle home, one eye closed, driving by Braille, and, you know, I'm lucky to be alive, but I came out of that, and I knew I would come out of it if I let through it, with clarity, and I did, and anyway, sorry, I forgot my point, but I did because I definitely went that route. But you know what? I think I made the decision. Am I going to be? Look, it. Not everybody is given this whatever this thing called life,
mm-hmm.
and we're all given this gift in every shape and form. But it's this we can do what we want. I mean, if we listen to ourselves, what we're here for, how we can help, whether that's serving other people, helping each other, or making something, creating something. I don't know, but I really believe that. That it's our duty to live it as fully as possible, really.
Well, yeah, and you're 100% right on that. And a lot of people have been asking me all week about Guiding Light, and, the fact that for you on Guiding Light, you playing Dylan, I mean, Dylan was connected to so many people on the show, and just put I know this year ended, but you were a grandfather a little early on the show. I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but I thought it was my specific duty to let you know, because when they said that, I think 4 years before it ended that you were a grandfather. All I could do was, picture you and start laughing. I'm like, excuse me, he's too young to be a grandfather, number one. And number two, I just thought it was funny. How was your Guiding Light experience? Because, you were on it for such a long time.
I'll tell you this. Because I think I'm preconditioned, like I told you, having a mother the way she is. So people always or very often make an assumption about me. So when I joined the show, the fans were so welcoming. And to me, I almost pushed back because I didn't feel that it was about me. It was the show, and I happened to be part of the show. And so I didn't really connect genuinely. I mean, I did, of course, with people, but I always felt kind of a bit of a disconnect. And what I found now, coming back and kind of reaching out and seeing who's there and stuff, is the connection that I didn't quite have before. And I just was doing this post about my party tomorrow night, and I was saying that I just had a realization that even the music industry, it used to be about, you're an actor or you're a star, or you're whatever, famous. And then there's a wall, and then your fans are on the other side of that. But now, 20 years, whatever, later, I come back to the industry and I see that it's just completely changed. It's all about making connections. It's all about talking to people like David House, and George, mm-hmm. I'm sure he's listening right now, and, Alan, and these people that, it's just like your bros, and that's something you have in common. They appreciated that you did, but there's other things too, and they have other interests, and they're doing things that I'm interested in, and creating this community. It's really exciting. I was very hesitant to get into the social media thing. I didn't really know much about it, and everything that I've been doing for the last 20 years it doesn't have a face, it's just, I'm part of a team. So to put myself out there like that, very, very scary and very awkward, but the reception and the people that I've reached out to and that have reached out to me has been an incredible connection. So I'm really happy about
that. Well, and I mean, when you appeared in 2009, wasn't it, the last couple of weeks of Guiding Light ending that you came back for? Because I'm like,
yeah, I think
it was. How was that, knowing, for the fans, I will say this, no matter if you're watching Zeno Hospital Days, One Life to Live, Guiding Light, it was for the fans. Like, we got punched in the stomach in the worst way possible. And then they tell us on April Fool's Day that, you know, Guiding Light was canceled. But when you came back for it, and when you had so many other people coming back, you know, for the finale and everything.
Yeah.
What did you take away from, I mean, because, you know, I mean, I never thought we would ever be down to four soaps. I never imagined this, you know, because, you know, it was this a generation thing for a lot of people, you know, with the soaps. So how was it for you going back one last time to play Dylan?
It was great. Every time I went back, I just saw my mom and my great friend Kim and Robert. They're just great people.
Huh.
And I love that cast. Everybody on it was just, you know, a couple people, we kind of ruffled each other's feathers, but I think there was a lot of love. And you know what? More than that, there was respect, because all of us were really committed to our craft, committed to the reality and to making it, you know, a really good show. I remember seeing other shows where, you know, they would basically just be reading off cards and stuff, and it just amazed me. I really appreciated what we had. I mean, we learned, you wouldn't believe the amount of dialogue that Kim Zimmer and Robert and Jordan. Good love Jordan, my man. But it was unbelievable. I don't know how they shoved it in their head and got it out their mouth and made it look as amazing as they did. Every day. That's not just once, like once in a month or in a week. That's every day. It's insane. So that's my thought.
I mean, yeah, it was day. I mean, I've had Michael O'Leary on the show. I've had Robert Newman on the show. I mean, and Michael O'Leary is one of my really good, I mean, he's been on here a lot. But I always tease them. I go, we need you back in daytime. I mean, like, I tell all the guys that are not in daytime right now that this is wrong, you know, and I go, like, list up why. But then when I heard you talking before about when you went, you know, to L.A., you tried to do pilot season for, you know, prime time. I think even back when you did that, back then it was, if you were on a show back then, I don't think they were very welcoming to, like, the prime time TV. People were not welcoming to the soap. People, which I think is a bunch of BS. I did not swear people. It's a BS. Because,
well, I don't know about everybody else, but for myself, I had no right to even be auditioning. I was in a very, very destructive marriage. And, you know, I felt like I was about a half an inch tall. And to try to compete in that market, you know, where you need to have a lot of confidence and really know who you are and what you're doing, I just, it wasn't for me at the time. So I went another direction. So now, tomorrow I have this party. It's a launch. I'm launching an Indiegogo funding campaign. To fund the
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it's to fund the music video for the song that you heard, the firefighter song. And then my thought before I left the fire department, my thought was that I want to give this song back to the firefighters. So I just partnered with the Los Angeles Fire Department Foundation, which is totally awesome, and we're gonna raise money and awareness. Once I get this video done, I paid for the song. I put as much money, you know, I give this song completely. It's the best that I can do. And I put a lot of money. It took over 5 years to write, over 6 months to record, and a shitload of money. So, but it's a product that I'm proud of. And I need help to make the video. So if anybody's interested, then they can throw down. Either they can put in some time, they can help get the word out there. There's so many ways that we could use help if it's something that resonates with you. And if it's not, that's totally cool too. But it's really starting to, like, literally like catching fire. You know, it's like a little groundswell. And this song is for the firefighters that are out there doing it. And the sacrifice they're making is huge.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they are totally making it, you know, a sacrifice. And the song, when you hear the song, everyone, it is really amazing, but it just, like you told me, you know, you were done working that day and you wrote the song. And I thought in my head, okay, so he wrote the song, he didn't get any sleep, and he wrote this amazing song without getting, like, you know, even an hour to sleep. Because, you know, when you are on standby at the fireplace, I don't think you sleep a lot. That's just me. But for you, how long did it take you to write it? Like 5, 10, 15 minutes? Or a couple of days?
Okay, well, so basically I just got the idea. I was sitting at a red light, and I'd been up for pretty much 3 days. It was had been really just particularly brutal shifts, and I just wanted to get home. And I'm at this red light. There's nobody around. I could have run the light, and you know, nobody would have said anything. But I'm in the middle of downtown LA, and the red light. I just make the light turn green so I can get home to see my family and my dog. And I said, "Wow, that's a great song." So that's where it began, and I ended up writing it over several days and months. And then I recorded it, and then I played it for some of the guys and gals, and they just were like, "Wow, this is amazing! I can totally relate to it, and this is our new anthem." And I was like, "Wow!" So I was really encouraged, and it was really from the encouragement of other firefighters that made me push this song forward to want to share it with all firefighters. And I know that not everybody's gonna like it, you know, it's a certain slice. And if you relate to it, great. If you don't, I understand that too. But there it is. And so I've kept rewriting. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I just rewrote the whole first verse. I'd already had it all recorded, everything done. And I just kind of the feedback was, it never says he's a firefighter, you know, so you don't know for sure who it's about. And people are like, "Well, is it a cop? Is it a soldier? Is it an ER doctor?" You know? So they spend the time thinking about that instead of what the song is saying. So I just wanted to make it a little more pointed towards firefighters. So 2 weeks ago, literally, I rewrote the first verse, and we just popped it back in there. And now it's complete and done and ready for you guys. And I'm just going to get it mastered. In like 2 weeks, I'm going to release it on Apple Music and Spotify.
Yeah, and, you know, really, I mean, that – you know, I'm excited for the video because I think when you hear a song, when I hear a song, I think in my mind how the video is going to be to that song, you know, and then when your favorite song did not get a video, then I get really mad. But
I'll tell you what, Andrea, the director, and here's what's really weird. So I post this thing on Instagram, me walking out of the station for the last time on my last day in the morning. And I get a reply from this girl who I was in acting class with back in like 97 or something. And Larry Moss's acting class. And she directed a piece that I wrote back then. And it was awesome. One of the highlights of my career, but only 100 people saw it. And so if there was one person I'd want to direct this music video, it would be her. So I make this little video on Instagram saying, "Hey, I'm leaving the station and I'm, you know, going to be pursuing music." And we haven't talked to each other in years. So I get a reply from her and it says, "Hey, Morgan, I'm doing congratulations and everything. By the way, I'm directing music videos now. So if you ever want to work together, let me know." I just like, I couldn't believe it. It was like a lightning bolt from heaven. So she wrote a script and it's so good. The video is going to be just off the hook. I can't wait.
Well, yeah, I mean, this, you know, the video, you know, it's going to be awesome. The song, you know, is always awesome, and I really think this is my idea for you. You know, I mean, I'm sitting there more like firefighter song. I think you could make a whole CD out of it, and then, you know, market to the firefighter community, because I think, like when Toby Keith's song My List came out back in 1990, 2001, that was amazing. But I always thought, you know, the last day I'm like thinking about you, and I'm like, you know, I mean, as the song was perfect, and so I thought, you know, is this, I think it would be awesome to see, like, you know, get a whole CD of songs like that, because that song is incredible. And once you guys hear it, the problem is you cannot get out of your head, even if you try. And because before that song was in my head, Taylor Swift's song was We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. That was in my head for like a week. And then I played your song, and now that's in my head. And I just think, you know, it's a really, you know, nowadays, is this, you know, with why everyone, you know, with all the TV shows about fire and med, you know, that song is going to get more play, Morgan, than you think it will be. Just because when you, you know, it is so organic and it's so true, and yeah, you could really win the red light that day. And I mean, I just think it's funny how you were stopped at the red light, and I'm like thinking, I, you know, because it must have been early in the morning, and I'm like thinking, yeah, I will probably, you know, if I drove and people would trust me to drive, but I'm a disaster on that. But no, I just think, you know, you're doing that, and it was just, I think, when, you know, firefighters have a really bad night, oh, a bad, you know, call, I really think sometimes I feel so bad for you guys, because you, there are all things that you cannot get out of your mind in your heart, and you guys take it home, you know, home to, if it was a really, you know, bad night at the firehouse. But that, your song, I think, is going to help, you know, firefighters, because they are going to listen to it, and they are going to say, okay, I'm not the only one that is feeling this way. I think that's, you know, the best takeaway from the song. Because
wow,
then,
that's really powerful, Carly. That's really powerful.
Yeah, I just, you know, because I, you know, if someone's like, I was just thinking more and more about the song today, and it was just powerful. Oh, if I don't get back to a guiding light, Kristen, someone's going to kill me. But my friend Christopher wants to know if when you were on guiding light, if you worked with Marcy Walker at all on guiding light. I did not remember you working with Marcy Walker, but I got told to ask, so I'm asking you.
I'm sorry, I missed the question. Marcia Walker, what?
Marcy Walker and you were both on Guiding Light, and Chris, my friend Christopher wanted me to ask you if you guys were on Guiding Light at the same time.
We did. We overlapped, but I don't think we really worked together much. I loved her. She was awesome. She was great. She's hilarious.
Well, yeah. Okay, so Christopher, you can leave me alone now. No, I'm kidding.
Hey,
myself,
I
want
to say something.
I meant to
shout out to David Burgess. I know he's chomping at the bit, probably. So, wanted to say hello. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that him? Is that his name? Let me see.
That is right.
I know.
Okay, I'm going to take the called because, you know, oh, I'm probably going to lose my voice too, huh? Let's see. Yep. Hey, David, you on the air?
Hello, Bergen. How you doing?
Hey, how's
Dave
going?
Burgess. Dave Burgess.
Hey, buddy.
Here.
My
I'm
online
big fan.
Buddy.
Yes, I'm a big fan of your mother. Can you tell us something about your mother we surprised to know about?
Well, I'll tell you what. She just turned 91 yesterday.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Yeah. I'm sorry, did you ask me a question? I didn't understand.
No, we tell us something about your mother we wouldn't know, we surprised to know about. What would we be surprised to know about?
Oh, something you'd be surprised to know about my mother. Well, she, you already know she's insane, so that's not new. she has so much love for her family. You know, maybe that's the other thing about the Hollywood thing is when she was home, when we were, you know, together, we were just a family like any other family. You know, I didn't, it was other people that told me she was somebody important. I mean, it was just normal. She was busy and she's running around. I had three older brothers, a younger sister. And, you know, she had a full life. And then my father and she were just, that was rough. But other than that, I mean, you know, typical family drama, except the times 10.
Do you watch her on Dance with Stars when she was on there? And did you vote?
Did I watch Los Angeles Stars?
Oh,
no, did you
watch
her on Dance with Stars?
When your mom was on Dancing with the Stars, did you go
and
see her, or did you watch her at home? That's what you wanted.
Did you vote?
Of course, I went to support her, but I didn't go every night. I did go once. I think she was only on 8 times, and it was she only had a couple tickets, and it was very difficult to get them. I actually got two for somebody, and the next day I asked him how it went, and he said, we didn't go. She didn't want to be out in public. And in the same sentence, he goes, but can you get me tickets to American Idol? And I just, what do you say to that? Like, first of all, how would I get tickets to American Idol anyway? I have no connection to anything. My mom happens to be doing this other show, so I was able to get the tickets from somebody else for him. And then he tells me, we didn't go. But can you give me tickets to America? Love it.
That is crazy because, you know, I mean, I remember your mom, you know, on Facts of Life. And, I mean, that is when, I mean, I know, you know, she's been famous for everything else. Facts of Life. But I just think, and, you know, I want your opinion, Morgan. I think when you are a kid, you know, and your parents are in the celebrity eye, really for the kids, they really don't know what their parents do because it's almost like if you had a dad or mom that, you know, was a doctor and all that, it's almost the same thing. Like, you don't want to hear everything little about their day of work, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But you know what I'm thinking about too, but on my, like, I think my dad, from him I got that it was almost shameful to be an actor or to be in the arts, even though his mother and my mother became best friends, and that's how my father and my mother met. But by the way, Dave, I think maybe you were talking about my mother. My mother has been, she was almost a concert level pianist. She was the eldest of three children. They really supported her.
Yeah.
And she won Miss Chicago in 1946, I believe. And it was all about the way she walked, she said. It was practice that walk. But she also had a great rack. Excuse me. Those are her words, not mine.
I love your mom.
She's an Academy Award winner. She's won more Emmys than any other female, I think, and certainly any other actor, male or female. And she is, you may not know her. Oh, who's that lady? But she's been in so many things that you've seen.
I know. Yes.
And she always is reinventing herself. And she's been a great inspiration as a character actor. And the problem for me is that I'm a character actor inside, but my outside is kind of leading man. And so I that was a difficult thing for me to come to terms with as an actor. I don't think I ever did.
David, go ahead, sweetie.
Okay, one more question. Your grandmother. I'm a big fan of your grandmother. What was she like?
Mabel Albertson.
Mabel?
Yes. Okay, so Mabel Albertson was my father's mother, and her brother was Jack Albertson. And Jack,
yes.
They both started in vaudeville. Well, Jack was Grandpa Joe in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the original one. He won a Tony and an Oscar for a play called The Subject is Roses. Subject was Roses. And that was actually Martin Sheen's very first Broadway play. He played his son. So when I say that I felt this thing from my ancestors, I got to tell you the story. Sorry, I know I'm getting off track, but let me just jump over here real quick. When I was doing God, I didn't know Jack very well. And like I said, I didn't know much about my family or my history much at all. I knew that he was an actor, and he was actually doing Chico and the Man, I think, in the 80s.
Yes.
So he had, and that was huge, actually. But I was still young.
Yeah.
But so I'm doing Guiding Light, right? And we'd get these guys that would come on for under five lines or even just a smaller part, you know, for the day. And they were older gentlemen, and they twice this happened. Two exact same thing. The guy says, "Hey, England, huh? You related to Jack Albertson?" I said, yeah, he was my great uncle. They said, "Well, let me tell you about Jack." And they both had the same story. And that story was that when they came to New York, knowing nobody, off the turnip truck, they fell into New York, and they met Jack, and Jack took him under his wing, and he showed him, you know, where to get the cheap lunch on Tuesday and where to stay on Wednesday. You know, he showed him how to work the city, you know, and so that they could survive in it and survive as actors in the city. And that hit me so deeply. And to learn in that way about my family that I really know, you know, it made me think, you know what, there's something in me that I need to explore. And I've had it reflected back from my kids. It's come through me. It's gone into my kids. And I feel it coming from the other way, from my past. And I guess I just need to explore it. That's really the main thing. And, you know, this one song, Carly, getting back to what you were saying about a whole album, I mean, I'm moving into music and songwriting now, and this is sort of a transitional piece for me to give an ave to the boys and girls still there and give something back. But ultimately, I'm moving in a different direction. So I don't know where that is, but this is what I'm doing as a transition in my life, and that's why.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for – okay. I love Poseidon Adventure, my favorite film of his, Jack Allison. Love Poseidon Adventure. Okay, thank you for answering my question.
All right, brother, thank you. And listen, I'm going to give you one note. David, listen, when you have a bunch of questions for me, give them all at once, please, because I'm so busy, I can't do one at a time. But I'm happy to answer all your questions if I can. All right, man?
Okay, thanks.
All right, brother. Take care.
Okay, Dave, I'm going to put you on hold. And now we have Alvin on the phone.
Hi, can you hear me? Morgan England?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just have one question, like, to ask you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you have any scenes with Marcy Walker on Guiding Light?
Did I have any scenes with her? Gee, man, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I mean, I must have been in... I don't know. That was a long time ago, bro.
Yeah.
What was our relationship again? Was she like... she was Reva's sister, right?
I can't. She was a character named Tangi Hill.
I think she was Reva's sister. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I did work with her. And, I mean, I remember being in the studio with her, and she's very cool.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. England, like for your response. Okay.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Robin. I wish I had more for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. She played Tanga Hill on Guiding Light.
Tangi Hill.
Yep.
But what was our what was my relationship to her? Was she like my aunt or?
We were sister. I really think it was we were sister.
I do too. Why do you ask,
okay.
Alvin?
On the website, it said something like she was the lovers with Andrew Albert Christian Edward Mountbatten, a.k.a. Prince Andrew, like, love with Josh Lewis. I mean, it said she dated Patrick Cutter, she was lovers with both Alan Spaulding and Alan Michael Spaulding as well as Nick Spaulding, one date with Nick Spaulding. This is from SoapCentral.com. This is from her entry and stuff. So, anyway, thanks
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, I think that's right. She was a little hussy, wasn't she?
I can't say Marcy was too happy on the show overall. I mean, so, she left after about a couple of years. So, just ask Robert Newman. He knows she wasn't too happy on the show. She was frustrated with stuff. Okay. Okay.
Oh,
okay,
right.
Thanks. Thanks, Chris. I mean, Alvin, thanks.
Thanks, Brett.
Okay, am I? Yeah, am I host? Hey, Megan, you on the phone with us?
I'm the little cat out of the bag. Hi.
Hi, Megan.
Elvin has a big crush on Mercy. That's
oh,
why
God,
he needed
yes.
it.
Huge crush on her. That's crazy. And drive this crazy on her, don't worry, Mom. Yes.
Hey, and thank you very much for being a fireman paramedic. That's what my father did.
All right. Hats off.
Uh-huh. And the song, it's got to go. I mean, the music video, very anxious to see that. I'm
yeah,
very
have you
proud
heard the song
of
yet?
A little bit of it. I didn't get to hear all of it yet, but I want to, absorb it, the whole thing. And
well, Carly,
I,
if you have a way to play it, you can play
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Maggie. Yeah, the last 2 days have been crazy, but yeah, Maggie, remind me and send it to you tonight.
Please do. Thank
but,
you very much.
Let me just say that a lot of people have been contacting me through Facebook. Like I was telling, I don't know, David, I think, it's just... I'm getting to as much as I can, but it's a great way to talk and and this song I'll be releasing. So I was saying, if you want to connect on Facebook, that's the best. Seems like the best way to kind of have connection with people. The song I'm planning on releasing within the next 2 weeks ish, and that'll be on Spotify and Apple Music, and I don't know what at least those two. But I'll be announcing all that on Facebook. So.
Okay, terrific. Because I have Spotify, so I'll listen to it on
okay.
there. That'll be great.
Excellent.
I really appreciate it all because my heart is my father, and he's not here anymore. But
wow. Well, you know what? Listen, this isn't for you to donate or anything, but if you go on, I'll be putting that Indiegogo link up. And there's a video that I made, and we've just been editing it and trying to – we only had a couple of days to do it, but it's kind of the pitch video. But but you may really appreciate it because my kids speak on it, and it's pretty touching. Yeah, and also tomorrow night, Carly, please tell everybody this or make this clear that tomorrow night through my Facebook page, we're going to have a live feed for the jam session launch party. And
awesome.
Okay. Everyone to come and join. There's no, requirement or anything. Just, the more the merrier.
Mm-hmm. Great. I believe in that.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you very much. God bless you. You take care.
What's your
well, last? Yeah.
Oh,
Dolphin.
Yeah,
well.
Mate.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
hope to see you soon.
Yeah, I mean, both of us, Maggie was more of a guiding light watcher than I was, only because, Morgan, guiding light in General Hospital were on at the was on at the same time in Seattle, and when I was in Oregon, they were both on at the same time. And, you know, it was either my love for Luke Spencer or guiding light. And then when Sunny came into GH, then I was really in trouble. But I was a kid, Morgan, that skipped school. Well, no. I would come up with these great diseases. Great.
Right.
I mean, like, I would, okay, Morgan, this is funny. I would, like, find my mom's thermometer and put it under the lamp, because I know, because if anything was going to happen on any of the soap in high school, I did not want to miss it, I would put it under. But people, I'm telling you, do not put it under the lamp for more than 1-2 seconds, because I had a fever of 114. See, and so both of them, Maggie and I, you know, love our soaps. I mean, we love them, and when we both, I mean, you know, we were really upset when, you know, guiding light got cancer, because, you know, my great grandmother lost guiding light on the radio.
Yeah, my grandma.
And,
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know, it goes back through generations, this, and it's not just television, it's back through, you know, generations, and, you know, sometimes you don't know what you have when you have it, but...
Exactly.
You
really connect
with everybody.
Are your children going to go into the Ecky field, or...
Oh, my God. My daughter's already, I'm learning from her. She's a singer, and she's actually, her music is electronic, so they do tracks, and then she sings live to the track, or to them, I still don't get it, but they're playing the DJ, you know, he's like the band. And then she sings live, and she's singing for thousands of people all over the world. And she's so nonchalant about it. She'll just be like, oh, Dad, can you drive me to the airport tomorrow? After we've spent, you know, the whole night together. I'm like, yeah, what's going on? Oh, I got to go do a show in Pori, you know. And, wait, what? So, she's doing really well. And then my son is an incredible musician. And and they do stuff together as well. They're going to be doing a song together. Wait till you see this. If you guys tune in tomorrow night.
I will be.
Wait till you see them together.
Oh, yeah, we will be.
They're something special.
I
they
caught
really
a little
are.
Bit of it on your Facebook page. I just requested you to be my friend on Facebook.
Oh, perfect.
I can't watch it all now because you're on the phone. I mean.
Let me see here. Let me go to my refresh this page. I'm learning all these computer skills, and I mean, it's
see
a whole new life.
See, yeah.
Are you on Twitter yet? Do tweet?
No, he's not with Iowa. I was going to yell at him. You know, it would have been great if you were on Twitter, Morgan, because all week, you know, when I was tweeting about you coming, a couple of people was like, okay, where is the Twitter account? And I go, I don't think he has one yet.
Oh,
but,
you know, I have like, I think it's Morgan underscore England. And to tell you the truth, even just Facebook alone has swamped me. I was doing Instagram, and I was getting some headway with that. And then, you know, the stuff I'm doing now, it just lends itself more to Facebook. And I feel like I can connect better with people on Facebook.
You can. I mean, you totally, you know, can with Facebook. And, you know, it's just like, you know, I mean, this, you know, I mean, kids know more than we do now about, you know, social media and computers. And everything, and how to post everything. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's good, but it's, you know, crazy. Before we let you go, I've been meaning. So, about you, Crescent, I know your mom was on the Mary Tyler Mosso, I think, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was.
One of those. But did you ever get to meet Betty Wright ever? I love Betty Wright.
I did, and I actually have at least one great story about her that might. How much time do I have?
We've got plenty.
A couple minutes. Okay.
Only one.
So I did get to go to the Mary Tyler Moore set a couple times, and my mom played Phyllis on the Mary Tyler Moore show. Classic comedy. And Ted Knight was one of the kids that I was talking about, the sons of somebody who he was brilliant. Love Ted Knight. God, I have stories about him. He's an incredible guy. But so I remember sitting in the bleach, where you watch them film the show, and Betty White was she's sitting and she's knitting. And I was probably 8, and I sat down next to her. She taught me how to knit. So we were knitting away. And that was the one story I'll always remember. But the other story that's really cool is that I was, I went out exploring. I couldn't sit around forever. So they had the Gilligan's Island lagoon, right? And they had these big boulders around the lagoon. They still had all the foliage, so it was really, for a kid, it was just incredible. It was a jungle,
Well,
but
sure.
The boulders, they were made out of styrofoam. So I put it in the lagoon. I start pulling around with it, and it worked. It was like a little boat. So now my mom gets a break, and I'm like, come on, you got to come down. And so I was pulling her around the lagoon on the rock. She's in her makeup and her costume and everything. Security comes down. They're like, get over here.
Oh my god, that is hilarious.
All in one day.
All in one day.
Yeah.
I get this picture of mother doing it. Well, if Thomas made me do it, I would have done it. My youngest.
Yeah.
You can talk me to
only live once.
Exactly. Wow, it's wonderful stories. I love her. I really do. And I believe every week.
Oh, yeah. Well, because my grandma, Morgan, gets your mother and Betty White mixed up sometimes. And we would be in, this argument for, an hour. And I was getting mad at her. And then I'm like, gosh, I'm calling Maggie now, Grandma. You really do not know what the heck you're talking about. And I called Maggie, and Maggie, tells Grandma that I was right on it because, but that era, Betty White and your mom, that era of acting was great. Prime time Thursday night. But it just feels weird that, there's not any really good shows like Golden Girls or whatever at night. And I just,
the new generation's missing a lot.
Yeah. Everything I think is, about generations. And so tomorrow night is your launch thing. And what time does it start at? We can tell people.
Okay, I think that the live feed will essentially start at about 7:15, let everybody get there. And then, I'll probably make an announcement and thank everybody for coming and all. And I'm not really sure, we'll figure it out. But and then we'll have a jam session, and, my daughter, my son, some of my really good friends will play, and I'll probably kick it off with my song, play an acoustic version, and have a couple people sit in with me and see where it takes us. Have some
fun.
Definitely
fun.
But again,
I'll be there.
It's about connections and community and –
mm-hmm.
And it just keeps all unfolding, and it's really neat. So,
the world
thank
gets
you for
smaller
your time,
every day.
You guys. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we loved having you, and come back anytime, Morgan. And, when you have more music to do, please. Yeah, we would love to promote it. And both of us sing that fire song. You hand it. This song over to country radio, CMT, Great American Country, and they would play it. I just have that feeling about the song. I mean, there are just some songs you know.
Oh, Billboard.
You know, all gonna be like a big deal, and this, this song is a big deal. So I think country radio, pop radio, someone needs to get on their own and get it, and
the best way for that to happen is by getting it out there, listening to it, sharing it, and creating some heat so that they know about it. Because if they don't know, and the only way they're going to find out is once I hit, some amount of likes or some friend amount or something, And I don't have the old school way was there was no internet and there was no, but people look at that now. I mean, if you're successful online, it's
you
all about
it.
Dollars, right? Just like soaps. I mean, it's more economic to have one guy on a reality show than a whole cast of characters that cost millions, it's a no-brainer. So ultimately it does come down to money, and so there has to be a demand created, And anyway, right now I'll do this and stick to that and let it take care of itself.
Or maybe YouTube too, you could put it on.
Yeah, and then my next song
is
a lot of fun. I can't wait to finish that. It's like a guy down on his luck, and he's going to build me a bar in the back of her car and drive myself to drink.
I'll be there.
We both will be there. I mean,
you always get that one person that goes, it's about drinking and driving. No, you idiot.
No.
Sorry.
No, you idiot.
But it's not about that. It's about... It's just about a guy down in his luck, It's fun.
Yes.
It should be funny. It's a kicker. So I'll be talking to you guys soon. Thanks for a good time.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for coming.
And you'll come and come back anytime. Just message me, email me, whenever you need anything to promote, let us know, and we will do it. Right, Maggie?
Yes, definitely. Most definitely.
All right. Well, thank you, Maggie. Thank you, Carly. And thank you, everybody.
And thank you, David, for introducing us.
Thanks, David.
Have
thanks,
a
Ellen.
Great night, Morgan.
Thanks a lot. You guys take care.
Okay.
Okay.
I know you're Dylan, but I didn't know your real name.
Morgan. Okay. Bye.
Yeah. Thank you, Morgan.
Okay, that one will.
Thank you, David.
Hi, David. You're back on there.
I call you. I'm Maggie. How you doing?
Hi, babe. Thank you. Thank you for introducing us to Morgan.
you're a pretty nice guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I never would have known his real name if it wasn't for you. I call him Dylan.
Well, I saw a chit chat said, oh, my guest Dylan. I think
I get him
on the show. I first saw him on Facebook. And I said, Dylan, I got to get him on the show.
And a fireman on top of us, like my daddy.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very happy here. So. I'm talking about somebody that's getting ready to work on that. Okay.
We'll all be listening tomorrow night on Facebook.
Me too. Me too. Me too.
You too.
Okay, before we go, I just want to say a couple of things. I just want to say a couple of things before we go. Number one, the Emmys were on Sunday night.
Yes.
Carly is not happy, to say the least. Carly has not been happy for 2 days over the Emmys. Okay, this was bullshit. This was robbery. This was, what other words can I come up with, Maggie?
Crapola.
Really? Okay. Don't get me wrong, everyone. I love Scott Clifton, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But now the lead actor of that category went to Kristoff. And the lead actress should have gone to Laura. And this is BS. Mm-hmm. All of it is bullshit. And Mo did not even get Mo got snubbed. Come on.
Who
in the hell are you doing this? And I better stop hearing
your name.
Mm-hmm.
I think I submit your name. I think he needs to submit his name. He needs to submit his name to get nominated.
Crazy.
Yeah. He needs to submit his name.
We got to get back on TV, and then they'll straighten it out and put it the right way.
Well, you know, my
Faith, she should have been a child category. Years ago, they had that. Where'd that go?
Exactly.
Out the window? I mean, that counts. I thought.
I want to tell you, the Friday episode of General Hospital was amazing. And Mr. Davis Lewis, and the, oh my God, I missed Henry crying, watching all the people crying. Crazy, Henry in tears, watching all the actors dying. Friday episode. It was amazing. That's why General Hospital won the Emmy right there.
Right there.
Seeing all that, David Lewis, Anna Lee, and
Alan,
and
This week, Jane Elliott retiring. I cannot believe it. She was with my Elvis her first movie, Change Your Heart. And I got hooked on her at that time. It said introducing Jane Elliott. And I've loved her ever since.
I get it. Jane.
I was Jane Elliott. You know, like I've said previous shows, if they would just give the actors and actors a little break, then I don't think the Jane would be leaving. And I am going to miss her. And you guys got to check out the commercial when Mo, everyone is, you know, saying really, really nice thing about Zane. And Mo goes, yep, I'm so happy to call a friend. And I'm like, thinking in my mind, yeah, you guys are fantastic on the show. You guys are like crazy. I mean, and and the writer's strike just got avoided. Thank God.
Can't do that again.
You know, I was worried about that last night, and our next show is Friday night, and you know, we will be talking more about the Emmys, more about the shows and everything.
Okay,
I know we will
good.
Be talking about everything.
Mm-hmm. And please give my quid a break. When needs a break?
What?
You can't talk to Nicholas. He talked to Nicholas yesterday, Monday.
And this summer, yes, don't worry. Daytime After Dark will be having those this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, summertime we might be off a week or two during the summer. But, you know.
We're still here.
Yeah, I mean, we will still be doing our shows, but it might not be every Friday night during the summer. You know, the summer, you know. But we will have shows, and we are going to say goodnight now because Maggie and I have to rest our voice, right?
Right.
Okay,
and
David, thank
care,
you
David.
For doing Morgan. You did a really good job.
Wonderful.
Well, what about Nicholas?
Any answer yet?
For Nicholas?
Oh, yeah, well, I talked to him, and I'm going to call him Wednesday, you know, because Wednesday or Thursday, because right now my voice is crappy.
Uh-huh.
But I will call him by this week, okay?
Okay.
Megan will remind me every day.
I will
Megan?
Remind you. Yes, I will. So I keep asking because I really like him.
I know.
Thank
so
you, everybody.
He's done a lot of things. Okay. Night times, I think.
Okay, night, okay. Guys. Bye-bye.
Everybody
bye.
Look at Facebook for a night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.